The Bible is
falling. Welcome back, friends and family, to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. I say friends and family because I know most of you listening right now are good friends or immediate family members. Shouts out to my mom, big listener, biggest listener of the podcast, potentially. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for being here for another episode of the podcast. It's been such a good run we've been on with guests, and that is going to continue today. And I'm very excited about that. I don't feel like I have any big family news to bring you guys up to speed on. Crosby is playing like every sport imaginable right now, football, basketball, soccer, same week. The Olympics are coming up, so I really want him to be inspired to support me financially as a professional athlete. So we're really striving towards that this week. Just been a great summer hanging out with my family. I hope it's been wonderful for you and yours, wherever you are. And yeah, we're going to jump into the podcast here. Before we do, let me just give the rundown for everybody. Maybe it's your first time listening. This is the Bible is Funny podcast. My name is Anthony Russo. And here on the podcast, we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. This has been so fun. I love the podcast family. I love everybody that's been along for this ride. And now we've been doing the movie reviews. I've heard from so many of you on that. Thank you for supporting that little side venture, little segment of the podcast we've been doing. Thank you guys so much. Podcast listeners, you're the best kind of supporters, because you're listening to me talk for way too, it's so long. It's so much of me talking that you've been around for, and you're still sticking around. God bless you. So thank you for being here. And we got another fun podcast today, another super fun podcast, another super fun guest. Our guest today on the Bible is Funny podcast is April Harrison. You may know her as the internet sensation, the normal Pentecostal. April, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
April, you and I have a history together on the internet.
We did.
I have told the Bible is Funny podcast, but I probably talked about you. This is our first time actually talking face to face. We're on a Google Hangout call right now. And I've talked about you so much more because you are so pivotal to the Bible is Funny story.
Uh-huh.
You are a main character. I was a lost internet Instagram page off on the side of the road. I was in a cardboard box. And April Harrison, the normal Pentecostal, came, stopped her car, and she picked up my little forlorn puppy page.
In the cardboard box, yeah.
And she took me. So I'll tell the story briefly. I was doing the Bible's Funny on Instagram for a while. And you reached out and contacted me. You were super supportive and nice right away. And then you encouraged me. I don't remember the words you used exactly, but I wasn't doing memes at this point. I was doing something weird and nonsensical that I should have never been doing. And you encouraged me to make it into them into memes. They were just verses. And then the caption was the joke. So it was very hard to consume. And you encouraged me along the meme path of righteousness, as it were. And that really took the whole project to another level. So I guess what I want to ask here at the start, April, I want to say first to your face, thank you so much, because it made a huge difference. Changed the trajectory of the whole project. But secondly, what was that like from your end? Did you just stumbled across my page? How did we become friends?
I don't remember. I saw somebody repost you, I think. It might have been Candace Payne, actually, because she was one of your early follows, I think.
Shouts out to Candace Payne.
Candace Payne, shout out. But she, I think, reposted something. I saw it, laughed my butt off. But I do remember, I think your initial memes, they weren't really memes. They didn't have the caption at the top. So when people would share them, they couldn't see how funny it was.
Right.
So I think that's what we had talked about. And I think, I don't know if it was before or after, I had submitted a meme idea for you for The Bible is Funny. It was Genesis 31:35, I think, with the story of Rachel and Leah. Do you remember this?
So good. Yes.
Okay.
one of my all-time favorites.
I love that one. So I don't know if that was before or after we started talking or not. Was I a submitter before I was a friend?
It was built into all this. And not to be lost in this, you are meanwhile crushing the meme game. You showed up on the scene and were just crushing, just putting out such funny stuff. The Instagram handle name is @thenormalpentecostal, the normal Pentecostal. Go follow right now. Pause the podcast and follow if you're not already. Just putting out so good, so funny, so consistently clever and great. You submitted that one. I remember what you said, because the verse, the context of the verse, you're probably right on the reference. I don't have it in front of me, but is Rachel's father wants her to get up, and she says, please forgive me for not getting up because
I have my period.
I have my, thank you for saying. I was going to try to remember the King James.
Well, the King James is something like the manner of woman is upon me.
It is the manner of woman is upon me.
But it's the first period joke ever recorded in history. It's the best.
Or at least the use of it as a reason to not do something.
Yes. Yeah, she was hiding an idol that she had stolen.
That's right.
And he was searching the area, and she was sitting on top of it and said she couldn't get up because of that.
I will never forget the joke because it is so it is so dead on, and it is just that glimpse into, like, this has been going on for forever. For as long as there have been women, and there has been the time of women that has come upon them.
And camels there has, and idols.
There has been the moment of, yeah, I'm not doing that because of this. Yes. And people going, oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, hands off. Fine. We'll go.
We're done.
No questions.
No more questions to ask. Yes, you submitted that joke, and then you, it's just so funny. I've told that story probably dozens of times at this point, because I was like, I was so against being a meme page. I think I've told you this. I was like, I'm not a meme page. I am meme pages. And I am not. Like, I took such pride in it. I was like, I am not a meme page. And then you came along and you were like, you know, no one can see your joke, right? Like, you did it the sweetest, nicest way.
It was so funny, though. Like, that's what I love doing. I remember back in the day when I had, like, 10 followers. I was doing the whole, and I'm going to totally call myself out here. I was doing the whole, you know, like people so they'll like you back for the first
time. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
First 1,000 or so, you know. But it's so hard to get those initial follows, and I knew that. And so, like, you had already had, I don't know, you had thousands already at that point, but I just knew yours was so funny, and I was like, dang, I wish more people knew how funny this was. So, yeah, once you switched it up, I think, like, it was easier to see the joke in it, and so I'm glad that worked. I will take the title of, you know, mentor.
That's right.
Queen.
You are my meme spiritual advisor.
Rabbi, whatever you want.
Rabbi, all of the above.
Yes.
Is April to me. Yeah, okay. So now you guys are caught up on our history. I want everyone to get to know you a little bit better, April. I want to get to know you a little bit better. Do I hear a bit of a Southern accent when you're talking with some of these words?
I was not born a Southerner. I am a Southerner now. I was born in the Midwest. Shout out to Illinois and Missouri.
Shouts out.
Yeah, and then moved to North Carolina when I was 13 for my dad's job, and kind of been down here ever since. So, yes, I have a little twang. I think I said fixin' to when Mike could a couple years ago. I finally full-fledged Southerned it, so.
Mike could.
It just slipped out. I don't know. I've never said a mash a button or anything like that, but that's, you know, maybe a few years from now that'll come out.
I think people talk down about Mike could, but if you're around people that say it, it rolls off the tongue
it
so
does.
Smooth.
Right?
You're like, Mike could.
Mike could do it.
You start off as an academic that, like, looks down on this talk, and then, man, you hear it enough times.
I know.
What are you doing today? I don't know.
Mike could
mow the lawn.
Mike could.
Okay, so that's awesome. I was, you know, your name is the Normal Pentecostal. That's the moniker you took.
Yes.
On the internet, and you were actually anonymous at the beginning too, weren't you?
I was. Yes. I only let my name be known a couple months ago, I guess, actually.
Wow.
So you're the second revealer of my name. I was on the Memes for Jesus podcast.
Okay, huge flex.
Yeah.
Huge flex, but okay.
That was the first one, and now you're the second. So it's not, I don't know about you, I'd rather, well, you're the video person, so you're used to being in front of the camera, but I'm more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person, so I've enjoyed the anonymity, but I don't know. It's interesting when people know who you are and can talk to you the way they talk to us.
Right.
In direct message when they know who you are. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very funny. I thought right from the beginning, though, when we were talking and becoming friends, that the name, I was telling you this a little bit a minute ago, like, I guess I was a little not aware that there were abnormal Pentecostals, and that's to my own lack of awareness of the Christian community, I suppose. So, yeah, the normal I guess maybe what got you to that name? What made that feel like that was the right name?
Yeah, I started the whole meme page for the purpose of my podcast, actually. I have a podcast called The More of God. And as you know, and as you mentioned on the intro, when you start a podcast and you don't have a platform, it's like your mom and your neighbor and your mom's neighbor that listen right. to your podcast.
That's right.
And I remember having these dreams like, oh, gosh, this is going to be such a killer podcast. It'd be number one on iTunes, you know.
Right.
And then it's like 13 listens, you know. So I talked to a friend who is in marketing, and he was just telling me kind of about funnels and how you need to, you know, create a something that more people are going to be interested in. So he told me, you know, think about something that, you know, your podcast is a very specific niche of, like, you know, about the Holy Spirit, and not everybody's going to be interested in that. What's something everybody is interested in? And I had just kind of started looking at memes on the internet and thinking I could do that. And so I started this to grow a platform so I could use it for my podcast. And then this took off and I kind of stopped the podcast. So that's where that came from. But in thinking about the name for it, I was saved when I was almost 27 years old. So I'm not a long-term churchy kind of person.
Okay.
And I got saved at a non-denominational church. It was probably more Baptist-leaning than anything. Got saved there. And probably 3 or 4 years after that, I just started feeling like there was something more than what I was currently experiencing. And so that's where the name The More of God came from. And for me, that was the Holy Spirit talking to me and trying to show me other things that I hadn't, you know, received at my current church, things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit did in our world today, that kind of stuff. And so it led me more down a charismatic path. And I ended up at a church that was a little bit more open to that than the church that I had previously gone to. But when people knew I left one church for the other for that, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what charismatic churches or Pentecostal churches do. So the first question I always get asked is, do you play with snakes? And the second question is, do you speak in tongues? And so the snake thing, like, I don't think there's really churches that still do that. I think back in the day in some really back of the woods country churches, there were some Pentecostal churches that took the scripture verse about the snake biting Peter and him shaking it off and being fine. And they would say, like, in faith, we're going to let these snake bites us or, you know, spite us or whatever. And so they got to be known as snake biting kind of, I don't know, snake handling churches or something like that. So that doesn't happen anymore, really. But people think, like, if you're Pentecostal, you're just playing with snakes, you're doing all this weird stuff. And so the whole goal of my podcast was to kind of demystify the Holy Spirit, because I knew when I was at my first church, I really didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Nobody talked about him as part of the Trinity, except for he makes you convicted of your sin. And that was kind of where it ended. And so I wanted to kind of open up that world a little bit. I know for me, when I left my first church and went to a more charismatic church, when you go into that arena, there are some churches that do some weird things, like, especially if you're not, if you've never experienced that.
Yeah.
So if you go into a church and they are speaking in another language, or if you go into a church and they're dancing crazy, or if you go into a church and you see people praying for healing in a way you've never seen, or whatever that thing is, if you don't understand it, if you don't theologically believe in it, if you are overwhelmed by it, you'll run out screaming and never come back, you know? So I was in those moments where I'd go into some churches, and there's churches where it's solid, it's Bible-based, and it's just interesting because it's different than what I had experienced. And then there's the churches where things were a little over the top, and I was like, oh, gosh, and I would run out, you know? So, and some of that I would say is people and their flesh, you know, in some cases, and sometimes it can be just real things that God is doing, but just stuff that's kind of strange. So anyway, I experienced kind of the whole gamut of the charismatic church world and wanted to use my name, the Normal Pentecostal, to kind of state that I was not one of those snake handling crazy kind of Pentecostals. I was
believed.
I'm a Pentecostal, meaning I believe in Pentecost. I believe the Holy Spirit's alive today. I believe the Holy Spirit's moving and working in our world, and that He empowers us to go, you know, continue the mission of Jesus. But I'm not a snake handler.
Right. It's too funny. Yeah, the snake handling thing, definitely, I feel like you being in North Carolina increases the amount of you getting that question.
Yeah, I would agree. Yep.
And it is such it's an interesting thing. I don't know anything about it. And I don't, like, does the snake have to bite you? Is there a way you encourage a snake to bite you?
I don't know.
Imagine a snake would just be like, okay, is this where I'm hanging out today? His arm looks like a tree branch that I would be on normally. Why would I just be biting everything?
I think they mess with him. I don't know. There's stories, if you Google it, it's like a pastor of snake handler church dies from snake bite.
Dies from snake. Inevitably. Inevitably.
So I guess, I guess he didn't have enough faith, you know.
And here's my thing, April, is sometimes that being a Floridian, as I am, animals get the bad rap, I feel like. Yeah. Like a story I may have told on this podcast. Sorry, listeners, if I've told it before. But an alligator ate somebody in my like general region. And they were like, see, that's what alligators do. Snakes biting the pastors that are handling them. And it's like, no, like a pastor got a snake out, antagonized the thing to bite. And in my case here, the story was there was an alligator by a lake. A man was on like 19 kinds of drugs, passed out in basically a coma next to a lake. And the alligator, yes, the alligator ate him. At this point, the alligator, like, what is, I'm sorry. This is a tragic story, but like, I hate that the alligator is the villain because.
He's like, it's just laying there.
Is he dead? I'm not going to check for a pulse at this point.
Would an alligator know how to check for a pulse? That's another question.
They do, but they check it, you know, they move in a zigzag.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they're looking for the pulse in the zigzag motion. So yeah, the snake handling bit is very funny. I was looking up and I was sort of familiarizing even just with your page. You have snake handling, you have speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
You have, your logo has always been a shofar. This is a Pentecostal thing?
Well, the logo used to be a shofar with a line through it, and now it's a tambourine with a line through it. Now, the shofar is something most people, especially people in your neck of the woods, probably don't know a ton about, but it's something that I think Jewish churches still use in their services.
Okay.
But it's a ram's horn, and they blow it, but in non-Jewish services and charismatic circles, sometimes there's usually one or two shofar people that tend to kind of congregate at conferences or, you know, at a worship night or whatever, and they'll just start blowing the horn. And to them, it means like, you know, I don't know, like go to war, or it means, you know, I don't know. It's some kind of ba 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 kind of feeling.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know because I don't really do it. But I am a shofar magnet. They tend to flock around me. So everywhere I go, there's usually a shofar player that ends up sitting close to me and playing their shofar around. So that was kind of the reason for that. But I changed it to a tambourine because that's honestly just as frightening when someone walks in with a tambourine. So, you know.
Okay. I have to pause on the shofar, though, because I have questions.
Yeah.
Is there a hype to before you blow the shofar? Like, do you want to make sure people know I'm about to blow the shofar? Is this someone just sitting in the audience that spontaneously blows a shofar?
Yes. Well, some people will wait for a moment where the service breaks. Some people will just start honking. The people that honk typically don't know how to blow it either, so it just sounds kind of like a duck that's dying slowly. So it doesn't really have the roar cry, you know, kind of feeling.
I'm just, When you say it, I'm imagining a pastor in front of this group that yes. every time the pastor goes to talk, so then...
Yeah, pretty much.
And then we...
Pretty much.
Could maybe you do it and then I'll go, or I'll do it and you go? How do we time this, shofar player?
I wouldn't say this is a normal practice of, you know, at a Sunday morning. You know, I wouldn't say that at all, no.
Is it one note? A shofar plays one note?
Kind of like that? I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
The best is there's a guy who's local. He goes around to like every conference I've ever been to. And he has three bags. And they're all these long bags with a handle. If he listens to this, sir, props to you for all
shouts
of your,
out.
Shouts out to all of your accoutrement, Pentecostal accoutrement. But he has three bags. One, he pulls out a flag. A worship flag. I don't know if you've ever, I guess that's not in your Baptist world either, but.
No, we need to talk about
that. Yeah. It's like, if you've ever seen like a marching band and they have the flag people that, you know, spin flags around, there's people who worship that way.
Yeah. So yeah.
He pulls a worship flag out of one bag. And then the second bag, he pulls a shofar.
Yeah.
And then out of the third bag, guess what he pulls out?
A tambourine.
Not a snake. No. He pulls out a flag with a shofar painted on it. So I was like, I was just waiting for the third bag. I was like, what can the third bag be?
He's merged.
And he's merged them. So he's got everything.
He's the Pentecostal John Wick. He's he's got everything. Where do you think he's going to pull out next? He's got all kinds of weapons of worship.
So when I'm thinking of me being the normal Pentecostal, I'm thinking of him being the opposite of me.
Got it.
Got it. Got it.
So you just have flags with nothing painted on them.
I have no flags. I have no shofars. I have no bags. I have no tambourines. I have no snakes. You know.
Right. You'll get there.
I'll get there
okay.
one day.
So let's talk through these though, because I'm so curious. The shofar is the thing. We got it. We realize, okay, snakes, you're saying very limited to none. You've never experienced this. Is that fair to say?
I held a snake when I was like 5 years old at the zoo. I don't know if that counts.
I realize you've held
a
snake.
I wasn't a Christian then.
I realized you've held a snake, but you've never been around the poisonous snake handling.
No,
this isn't
no,
you've
no,
experienced
no.
this.
No.
Okay. A lot of snakes in Florida, by the way. If an animal can kill you, we live with it.
Okay.
So no snakes. Some shofar. This isn't a regular practice, but at a conference or something, you'll see a shofar.
Do not participate in shofaring.
Okay.
If that's what you mean.
Shofar, as you know, it's not as practiced as regularly.
True, and I am team no far, personally. I would prefer no shofars.
Team too far.
Too far.
So then the next one, I would say flag waving.
Flag waving, yes.
This is pretty common, flag
That's
waving.
That's pretty common. I also do not participate. Even a couple weeks ago, I was at a conference, and this lady with a bunch of flags came up to me and said, would you like to wave some flags? And I said, no, I would not. And she said, there is a lot of power in flag waving for the Lord. And I said, I am sure that is true, and I would not like to do it. So that is me. But I have learned with God to never say never, because the second I say I will never do something, he makes me do it.
Right.
So I can't see myself blowing a shofar. I can't see myself waving a flag. I can't see myself with a tambourine or ribbons or dancing.
Right.
But I would never say never.
Okay.
Because I don't want to do it.
Right. As a Christian, you just learned that, right? You've heard enough stories of missionaries that are like, I said I was never going to be a missionary. So you just mark that and you're like, well, I'm never going to say never to anything.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I don't tempt. I want to talk about flag waving, though. So this is during like worship time. Flag waving happen?
During worship, yep. So, you know, one of my podcasts that I did, it's one of my favorite podcasts. It was with a lady named Leah in my church. And I met her the very first day. The seat I normally sit in like every week. I walk in and laying across the seat was, guess what?
A flag.
A flag, a shofar, and ribbons on poles.
Okay.
And a tambourine with ribbons.
Wow.
And I thought of all the seats. Of course, me the magnet for all that was there. So anyway, I was kind of doing the whole like sizing her up kind of thing. Cause I always, you know, being the normal Pentecostal, seeing the abnormal Pentecostal, I was kind of like, you know. So I think it's Abraham Lincoln that says, you know, I don't like that person. I got to get to know them better. Or I forgot exactly what the quote was, but that's kind of how I think about things with Pentecostal things or however it is. Like, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that. I got to get to know them better. Mm-hmm. And so I asked her just randomly, I didn't know her at all. And I said, would you be on my podcast and talk to me about why you like to wave flags and blow shofars and all that? And she's like, sure. And so we got together and I thought, this is going to be a train wreck. But it was like the best podcast because I saw her heart. She loves Jesus. And she was just expressing that sometimes she just gets so overwhelmed with love for Jesus that she can't say the words. And so it just comes out in dance or it comes out with her flag or whatever it is. And I could just see the just her heart when she spoke in such a way that I just thought, you know what? Que sera, sera. Like, I don't know, like whatever, however people want to worship, just let them worship. Like, I don't care. I don't have to do it. If they want to do it, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am now.
That hits me at such a deep soul level. I just feel like the more I get with faith and with my Christianity and what this is, like the more and more I grow out of any sort of like hard lines in those areas.
Yes.
It's just like, they're into it. They're into it. It's not my, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I want to go deeper in a direction with this in a second, but I just want to have the picture right in my head. Because I've never been to a Pentecostal gathering. When I'm in North Carolina, I want you want to hang out and we want to go to like the most Pentecostal one so I can really experience it. We walk into this room, we sit down. We do a greeting time. We say, like, greet your neighbor for a second. Is this something you do?
I feel like you think we're on a different planet, not
just... Is it oxygen in the room?
Do people have two eyes?
You guys breathe out of the lungs? You do something different? For when I go, I want to be prepared.
We're normal human beings.
But do you do greeting time is all I'm asking.
Yes, we do greeting time.
Turn to your neighbor and greet. Cool.
Yes.
Are the flags, can you look around the room and you're like, I'm seeing flags. Like, I know who's going to be flag waving here soon.
Oh, I know who's going to be. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so we're walking around. We basically have a sense. There's where the action is. First song starts. Do we warm up to it? Do we come out? First downbeat of the first song we're out there? Does it kind of crescendo?
It depends how riled up people are and ready to go. If it's a, you know, early in the morning, no coffee, I don't know, it might take a song or two.
So that's where I would be. I can tell you, I could not right away get out there. I would need to.
You know what? Sometimes they show up ready.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And there's later services that I'm probably not considering. Uh-huh. So they get up during worship, and there's no coordination to this. Like, there's no predetermined, here's a flag waving area. You just do it. Is that what happens?
Usually they're off to the sides because they don't want to be distracting to people. Most people who have experienced flag waving have been hit by a flagpole at some point. So
I got to imagine.
So I think they've kind of pushed people off to the side. Sometimes people will go in the back and do their thing. I was at this worship night. It was like an all-city worship night. There was a lot of flags, several shofars, of course, right around me.
Perfect.
And one person had this flag. And, I mean, this thing must have been 20 feet tall. I mean, this thing was huge. And it had a huge lion on it.
Yeah.
And he was walking back and forth in front of the stage going like this. So sometimes people don't stay to the sides. But, you know, that was an all-city thing. So there was no, like, protocol, I guess, in place.
Okay.
But yes, in our Sunday services, people will typically stay to the sides and twirl their flags on the side.
Gotcha. Let's talk some about what's on the flags. Is it at all like a Hogwarts house situation where you're chosen by the flag? Do you choose what is their flags? handed down? How do flags, what's on the flag and what is the significance of that?
Oh, all of them. I'm not a flagger, so I'm probably the worst person to ask about that. But I've seen flags that were different colors that are supposedly representing things like, you know, white is the purity of God or, you know, whatever. Okay. People, I've seen ones with flags on them. Obviously, the flag with the shofar was the special one that I've seen.
Right.
I've seen, gosh, I don't know. There's a Holy Spirit dove on some of them.
Oh, sure.
So, I mean, if you Googled worship flags, I'm sure you would be quite surprised by the variety.
No, I don't think I would. I'm into it. I feel like,
it
would be a tough, I'm saying what I can't imagine is making the purchase. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, which part of, like, what flag am I? Like, I feel like that would be such a heavy purchase of, am I a Holy Spirit dove or am I like a conquering lion?
It's not about you though. The flags are representing what God's doing in the room. Okay. So they will choose a flag based on what they feel like God is wanting to do in the room.
Do not preach at me on my own podcast, April.
I would never. I'm just audacity. Trying to educate you on the way of flags. Because you delight to understand.
It's not about me. You're exactly right. But I would make it about me when I purchased that flag. I know I would. I would be on the site. I would be on Amazon.
I'm going to look at Amazon and I'm going to find one that is right for you. I'm going to find one and then you'll know when I find.
This is a good thing for you. This is a thing you should really do. A personality test that tells you
what flag you are.
Flag is the right flag for you. Maybe it's like similar to the Enneagram or something. So you could just walk around being like, oh, I'm a purple Holy Spirit dove. Just so you guys know, that's what I'm bringing.
I think you might be a green shofar, I really do feel that. I feel it in my spirit. That's what you are.
All right. There it is. It's done. I'm a green shofar, everybody.
Now you know.
That's flag waving. Okay. Obviously, you have, you brought up the speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. Is this something you've experienced personally?
It is.
You've done it? You've been in the room when it's happened or both?
Both.
And what, so you came from, like you said, a little non-denominational Baptist-y. I guess, what's your first experience with that? What was your first experience like when you experienced that?
Well, that was something that I had read about. Like I said, when I was at that first church, I was like, there's got to be something more than just showing up on a Sunday and leaving and going home and living life. And the Holy Spirit, I felt like, was just trying to invite me into, like I said, the more of God, the other things that He's got for us. And I didn't know exactly what that was. So I spent all my time Googling about the Holy Spirit, which that is not the way to learn about the Holy Spirit, by the way. but I Googled tongues too. That was one of the things that I Googled and was kind of reading about. And there obviously is some very strong feelings on either side about tongues. And some people even teach that it's demonic to speak in tongues. And other denominations say you're not saved if you don't speak in tongues. I don't think either of those things are true. But I think it's something, it's a prayer language that God can give us if we want it. That we can commune with Him in a different way than we can when we're speaking in English. It's a way that He can kind of pray through us with His Spirit, and kind of pray these perfect prayers that we don't know how to pray as, you know, humans with our own agendas and thoughts and fears and all those kinds of things. So my first experience, I was wanting it, and it's part of something that comes with what I believe is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which is talked about in Acts 2 in the Bible and in several other places in the Bible where people were baptized with the Holy Spirit. When you get saved in Pentecost world where I'm from, we believe that you do receive the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, there's nothing, you know, that's part of salvation, but that there's a secondary experience called the baptism with the Holy Spirit where the Spirit comes upon you and empowers you to be witnesses and can kind of continue the mission of Jesus. And so that's something that I started thinking about a lot, and I started wanting, and I started reading about it. Google was freaking me out, so I went to Scripture, and I went through like every single verse, Old Testament, New Testament, about the Holy Spirit. And I read every verb tense. I read every, you know, original Greek and original Hebrew of everything. And I kind of came to the conclusion that it was something I theologically believed in. And so I was asking God for it. And I had a lot of misconceptions about it that took me a long time to receive that. But once I did speak in tongues. And that's something that I do also pray in tongues on a continual basis now. So I think that's probably one of the things that people think is the weirdest about Pentecostals is praying in tongues. And it is weird. I mean, if you think about it, it's weird to pray a language that you don't know, that the Bible says is either a known language that you haven't learned or a heavenly language, you know, of angels. And, you know, it's strange. It's something that's supernatural. But God is supernatural. So just because it's strange doesn't mean it's not from God.
I have heard that about God. that's fascinating. Was it interpreted then? So you spoke in tongues in a public setting that first time. You said you pray in that as a practice, but in the public setting, did somebody in the room interpret that for you? How does that factor in, that interpretation part?
Yep. So there's two kinds of tongues the Bible talks about. When Paul's talking about tongues and he's saying, I pray in tongues more than all of you, he's talking about that private prayer language between him and God. So it's something where he's talking to God, and therefore it doesn't need to be interpreted because he doesn't need to know what he's saying, and God knows what he's saying. So it's just between them. When there's what you're talking about is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is listed in 1 Corinthians. It talks about all the different manifestations of the Holy Spirit where somebody will stand up in a corporate setting. They'll speak a word in tongues, and then there's supposed to be an interpretation. And the reason there needs to be an interpretation is if I just stand up and I'm like, bleep, blop, bloop, blop, that does not encourage you. And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, they're supposed to be things that are for the benefit of the church.
Yeah.
And so that's something where God is using a person and then an interpreter to give a message to the church. So that has to have an interpretation. So I think that's why it's confusing, is because the Bible is talking about two different kinds of tongues. One, that private prayer language just between a person and God. Mm-hmm. And then the other, that's for the church, that needs to be interpreted.
Right. So the one that is public, is that the one you did? And then you didn't do a public one.
No, there was one time where I felt like God asked me to stand up and speak in tongues in front of the church. And I said, no, thank you. And I love that God doesn't hate me. God loves me and he understands. But I did say no, thank you to God. Just like I did to the flag lady. I said, no,
thank you.
That's
what I was just thinking. Flag lady, don't take it personal.
Don't take it personal. I did it to God as well.
So. God showed up and asked, and April still said, no.
It's kind of like if God said, Anthony, I want you to stand up in front of your church and give a message in tongues, would you be like, cool? And you would stand up and do it.
You just threw a double peace sign when you said that. I wish the viewers at home could have seen you say cool and throw a double peace sign. Because I don't know that would have been my first response. I would be very hesitant to respond to that. April, I have a hard time talking to the person next to me on an airplane. Like, sincerely. It's funny, the duality of myself sometimes. Because I do like doing this. I like being on stage. I like being on video. But, like, man, a lot of personal things I would rather. I'm a little bit more to myself.
Me too.
That would be a tough one for me, for sure. Let me back up one second because I feel like I want to. So yeah, I grew up Baptist. I work at a Baptist church now. My whole life has been spent in Baptist churches. And we are so uptight during worship. I mean, so uptight. Oh. If a phone goes off, that's the big, like, whose phone is that? Like, that's a disturbance that's been made. We are not supposed to be disturbing the moment. I'm making a generalization of us as a group. I'm sure there are Baptist churches where there's a range as there is with Pentecostals. But so I have experienced the people that I know and love and the circles I run in. There is always the peak over at Pentecostal. Or do you find? Okay, I have so many questions for you, and I apologize. Do you find the word Pentecostal and charismatic interchangeable?
That's how I use it. When I called myself the normal Pentecostal, I had no idea that people would take that as I am a I am from the Pentecostal denomination of the Apostolic Pentecostals or the UPIC or a denomination called Pentecostal. I'm actually from a denomination called Foursquare, which is, it's got Pentecostal roots, meaning it goes back to like Azusa Street, and we believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit happening today, and we're continuous. We believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still working today. So that's what I mean when I say Pentecostal, but I think a lot of people thought that that was my denomination.
Gotcha. I just didn't want to use that haphazardly and say something I didn't mean to say, but I feel like it, everybody in my circle that I run in, everybody I know and love and even work with now, when we worship with Pentecostal people, like we have like we just recently did a day of prayer. I think we hosted our church. So you have a pretty big auditorium, and all these churches came together, and everybody walks out with like a different kind of energy. Like there's just a different, like, whoa, those people are onto something. And yeah. So as much as there are people that sort of high ground and say, yeah, they're the snake handlers and whatever, I have found a much more sizable group inside the Baptist community that's like, boy, they got something going on in their stuff that is that's like a different kind of thing. Because I love even just hearing you talk about it. Like that's why I'm so fascinated. It's so participatory. I want it. I want it to manifest. I want worship to manifest differently because people don't just always want to just stand up and sing. Like that's just not everybody's thing. There's other things that people want to do and move. And so I'm endlessly fascinated. And I feel like there has really been a bit of a marriage. I'd be curious for you to weigh in on this between like some Baptist ideas. And then the Pentecostal style of worship has bred sort of a non-denominational middle ground that has spun out where you're like, you feel really Baptist, but you're very like, you know, expressive in worship and things like that. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think worship can it's kind of like crossover music. You know, like I was never a country fan, but when Dixie Chicks came out, I was like, oh, I kind of like that. You know what I mean? So like Bethel, like that kind of brought that kind of spirit-filled worship to a more center stage where people are kind of more used to that kind of music. Upper Room is another worship group that I think has
so
been
good.
Yeah, and that's kind of brought more of that spontaneous kind of worship as well. And that's my thing. Like I love worship, and that's kind of what led me to a charismatic church is because that's always where God speaks to me. Like I don't know, I just kind of drop all my guard and he comes and he speaks to me and I just wanted more of that kind of worship. So that's what led me there.
Does it ever go like very long? Some of these, even like the videos and things, when we're doing this plus spontaneous, I'm like rolling through a YouTube run or something and it'll be like, oh, 19 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think like, I'm not in the room, so it feels very long to me. But maybe if you're in the room, it feels like, wow, this was like a real moment.
I think that, that happens sometimes. I think it's a lot on the pastor, on the worship leader to kind of feel like what God's doing in the room. There has been a few times I've experienced where the pastor showed up ready to preach and then worship just happened and it just kept going. And he was like, you know what, let's just do what God wants to do. Let's just keep worshiping. And he just didn't even preach that day. Which for people that are very programmed, that's probably a hard thought. Like, what? We have to have three songs, you know, the sermon, and then we're done, you know? But that's what I do love about a charismatic church, too, is like, I want to do that day what God wants to do that day. And when there's an openness to following what he wants to do, it's exciting to me. Like, I'm like, ooh, what's he going to do today? Like, I show up feeling like that. And I love being at a church where people are sensitive to hearing what he wants to do and willing to flex. And even the pastor that's willing to give up his preaching a sermon so that we can continue doing whatever God wants to do.
Yeah, that's incredible. I'm just, as you say that, I'm just thinking of the poor planning center sheet that was hanging up somewhere backstage, so meticulously planned. I assume they're still doing a planning center thing.
Yeah, we've got planning center, and there's always an order of service, but it's always, there's just a known idea in our church of like, but we follow God. And so if he wants to do something different, we'll follow him. So.
That's so good. That's so cool. Thank you for teaching me so much.
You're welcome.
Every once in a while on a Bible podcast to have people on that are that know so much more than I do. I thought we should walk through some of this text in Acts 2 together. I like doing this with guests. I thought you'd be a great guest for this. as the normal Pentecostal to talk through some of the story of Pentecost here in Acts 2. I, of course, will add only silly verses to the conversation, and that's what our roles will be as we go through it. Does that sound good, April?
Sounds
we down?
Perfect, yep.
Cool. So we're in Acts 2. As always, I am reading from the NIV. I don't think I say that enough. And I know sometimes that's confusing. If you're reading from a different version of the Bible and you're new to this whole thing and you're like, why are the words different? Some different translations. I use the NIV. There's lots of good translations. But that's where I'm in. Starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Just pause here for a second. This is the beginning of Acts. This is like the beginnings of the church here. You have the gospel narrative, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts comes next. So this is like right after that gospel story kind of wraps up. We're in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Verse 1, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house.
I mean, it could be.
One poorly played shofar was translated throughout the years as a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now that other tongues there is languages they did not know. Correct, April?
Well, that one is languages they did not know. There is a question if they were, because it says that the people that heard them heard their own languages.
Right.
So there's a question if they were actually speaking those other languages or if the miracle was in the ears of those hearing that they heard it in their own language. But yes, it was a language they didn't know of some sort.
That's a real chicken egg question there, April.
It is.
Is it the voice or the ears? One of the two. Okay, verse 5. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. This is what you just referred to. Mm-hmm. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Oh, here we go. Verse 9. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? It's pretty incredible. Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. So good.
To be a fly on the wall.
So good that this stuff is recorded in the Bible to me. Yep. This is what the whole motivation that some throughout thousands of years, we decided to hang on to the verse. there was a few said they were drunk. Verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Now, this is the key part to me, this whole thing. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. This is definitive proof to me that mimosas were not invented at this point in history.
Wow.
Because if they're saying, it would be crazy if someone was drunk at 9
no
in the morning.
No Bloody Marys, no mimosas.
You guys have not found mimosas yet. Because there's a Brittany somewhere at a brunch at 9 in the morning that is 9 mimosas in. Mm. And that is not an abnormal experience.
Wow.
These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. And then Peter goes on to preach here. So I just want to hear, I thought we'd cover some of this. Peter goes on there to give a wonderful message there. Peter addresses all the people there. continues all throughout Acts 2. Well, your thoughts, just your initial thoughts there on that passage. A lot of words we've already talked about. You've got tongues in there. All kinds of things. What are your thoughts on that passage?
My thoughts are, the first thing that comes to mind is a lot of times people who are resistant to charismatic things will say that can't be from God because God is a God of order.
Hmm.
And I say God came and people thought everybody were drunk. So his version of order is not necessarily your version of order.
That is to say, one plausible explanation for this would have been that they were drunk.
I know. So I think a lot of times people will say that because they're afraid of what if things get out of control. That's their fear of charismatic things. What if things get out of control? Mm. But God is always in control. Even in this, he was in control and everybody was like, what the heck is happening? You know what I mean? But that was still God.
Right. And that's really good because, again, when we talk about just knowing our groups that we come from and coming from Baptist, when you have this really controlled view of God inside of your worship space, I think the danger is that it can sort of imply that God is very orderly and predictable outside of that space. Mm-hmm. And then when your life is not like that, which most people's is not, most people's is wrecked with things that they didn't see coming, that there's no way they could have anticipated. It can feel like, well, the God that I experience at church is very kind of predictable. So that's a really good word there. I've not really thought about that in that particular context. Mm-hmm. How does a God of order? Well, then how come when the Holy Spirit shows up, there's a question about sobriety.
I mean, I see that all the time. If you post anything charismatic, people will say, well, that's the devil. You know what I mean? Like on any kind of video or whatever online, people will say, well, that's crazy. That's the devil. Because God doesn't do that. God is a God of order. So, you know, I've just learned over the years that I can't make that judgment call because there's a lot of weird things that God does that I can't understand, but they're still God. And we can often see the fruit of what happened later and kind of see what God was doing in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love how it's always so different. I was talking with someone about that recently. Like, you don't see a moment quite like this ever again. The story I was talking to somebody else about was the Moses raising the snake in the Old mm-hmm. Testament. Mm-hmm. And it's like when God moves, it can be so unique. Like it can be such a unique, that was for that moment, that one time.
Right.
And then here you have this day of this Pentecost where everybody's hearing and they're like, well, we don't see that. It's not like every year at Pentecost, then we all got together and nobody knew these languages and we all knew the languages all of a sudden. It definitely jumps out at me from that text too when I revisit it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts in there? What do I need to learn? Did I say these words right from all these locations where people were from?
I don't think you said Fergie right, but I think you did pretty well with all the other ones. I think one of the other things I think is interesting is when the law came, when Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets and the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
He comes down and he sees Israel with the golden calf and like 3,000 died that day.
Mm.
And that was also that same day of Pentecost. So when the Holy Spirit comes, also on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down, we see that when Peter then addresses the crowd and he starts talking to them, here's what you did. The God you crucified died for you and he did all this. Then it says that 3,000 came to faith that day. Mm. And I just think that's such a cool thing that, you know, the Bible talks in several different verses about how the law brings death, but the Spirit brings life. And I think that's such a cool picture of that, that we can't live by the law because we can never be perfect enough. But because of what Jesus did, he came and then he gave us his Holy Spirit, that brings us life instead of death, trying to live by the law. So I like that parallel also in that story.
That's so good. Yeah, that's Acts 2, verse 41. Acts 2, verse 41 is where it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good stuff, April.
Way to get my Pentecostal on.
Way to bring out, that's so good to have a guest on who's pointing out like helpful, meaningful, you know, interesting things in the Bible. Because mine are always so silly. Like, mine are always, like, people being drunk at 9 a.m. That's
nonsense. No, that's still funny to me. I love that. That's, and like you said, I love that they didn't leave that out.
It's we included it. But it speaks to your point. I mean, it speaks to your point of, like, how do you really set what was this scene really like? Because if you take that part out, you can kind of think about people sitting in little small groups almost. Like, oh, look at, we are Egyptian, and here we are. And let's do prayer requests and sit in our little group, and we're all
unspoken,
talking.
Unspoken.
Traveling mercies for Barb.
Hedge of protection.
But when you get that added into it, you're like, oh, wow. So, like, probably a lot of, like, shouting, probably a lot of, like, people, you just get more of, like, a big scene built out. So, yeah, it's great. And that's a great word about it there. God is a God of order. That's true. But when the Holy Spirit shows up, everybody starts acting a little bit drunk. Paraphrased. Listen to the whole podcast to get the context. Well, April, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. You've been
a
wonderful guest.
You've been a wonderful host.
Listen, the Instagram handle is @thenormalpentecostal, and I would be totally remiss if I did not call just so much attention to the Saturday meme parade that happens every Saturday on the Normal Pentecostal. It is a staple of the Russo household. So much so, I don't want to put any other guests on blast. That's not what I'm here to do. But Rachel, my wife, is here for all podcasts, and she made sure that she spoke with April prior to this recording to say specifically thank you for the Saturday morning meme parade. The meme parade is that good, folks. It is every Saturday. I don't even know what internet you're on that you get all the stuff you get.
It is a lot of work. It really is. It is hours of work. So I am glad people appreciate it. But yes, I have my sources, my meme sources.
It is.
Back alleys and places. They hand me a few memes under the table.
Yeah. Shofar flags for memes. Shofar, it's an even trade. Yeah,
exactly.
Straight up. So that's on Saturdays. Follow along at the Normal Pentecostal. And then the podcast is called The More of God. Is that right?
Yes. My podcast has been in hiatus, but you can still listen to the episodes that exist out there. The website is themoreofgod.org, and the podcast is The More of God.
It's such a good title, The More of God.
Yeah, thank you.
Didn't you have... I thought you had another account or something. I'm going way off book right now. That it was like... something, it was a pun on Abraham,
yeah,
or something?
The God of Abraham.
Abraham.
Yeah, that's also a website and a Instagram account, The God of Abraham. It's more my serious stuff.
More,
Serious
stuff, The God of Abraham. So, man, I'll put some of these links in the show description. I know that's always a lot. And you're jogging right now. You're doing something super productive.
Somebody got inspired and they pulled out their American flag for the 4th of July and they are just letting it rip in their house right now.
We are recording this a couple days before 4th of July, and you want that kind of Pentecostal at your 4th of July party. Because who else is going to
know how to do it?
Last question on this vein.
Okay.
Because you're my source right now. Is there any sort of practice? Is there any sort of like, hey, if you're interested in flag waving, but you don't know how to start, after service today, we're going to do a training.
There are workshops people will do for flagging, dancing, that kind of thing. I have not participated. Even though I have been invited, I have chosen not to participate. And you know what? I have the freedom to not participate.
God descended from heaven and asked politely that April wave one of these flags, and she said, no, thank you.
I said, no, thank you.
That's wonderful. Because again, this is stuff I would think about. I would be like, well, if I wanted to do that, I would want to have at least a quick tutorial on this before I just jumped up and started doing it. So that's helpful to know.
I really do. I mean, you're used to improv, right?
I am used to improv. Not nearly enough flags involved in improv.
You know what? I think you and Rachel could just sign off, grab a few flags, Just see what happens. Get crazy. Okay.
That's the soundbite. You and Rachel sign off, grab a few flags and see what happens. Do you ever get someone, okay, I'm sorry, I said it was last question, but this just hit me. Have you ever been in a room or a conference with someone who clearly did used to do color guard and they are like doing tricks with it? Like it's multiple flips and stuff.
I saw one girl, she'd never done it before. She picked it up and I was like, dang, she knows what she's doing. Like she looks like she's not, you know, not scared at all of that. And then later I talked to her and she said, oh, I used to be in color guard and band. So, you know.
Yeah. Instead of using that like wooden rifle or whatever they usually have to use, that always felt like the lesser. The flag is so
hypnotizing. I was in marching band and I was the clarinet player. So you think I would be a natural for shofar, but no. No.
But have you tried? You haven't tried though.
I have not tried and I choose not to.
But once you, when that magical day happens, that room is going to fall apart.
Everyone who knows me knows that there will be a day where God's going to ask me to come on stage, grab a flag, blow a shofar, and shake a tambourine.
Yes.
And everyone's going to record it, and it will be to my death.
Whatever walls currently are standing in and around Jericho, when you pick up that shofar,
They're down.
And then people will be like, what happened? Somewhere in North Carolina.
Yeah.
April. Finally.
April did the hat trick.
April.
Pentecostal expression.
Shofar, flag, tambourine. April, thank you so much. You've been a great guest. We'll definitely have you on again. And again, we'll put all those links to where you can follow along with April. But it's at the Normal Pentecostal, the God of April Ham. And the podcast is called The More of God. I have learned so much in this pod. This is probably the podcast I have learned the most.
I'm so glad.
And it makes so much sense that it was April who taught me, as she has been my guide all along the journey of the Bible is Funny.
Rabbi. You can call me Rabbi.
Rabbi is April. All right. Well, thanks again, April. Thank you, listeners. Thank you to everybody who has rated and reviewed the podcast. It is super helpful. I so appreciate it. I just recently was going through some of these reviews you guys leave, and you're just the best. Thank you. Thank you for so many of you that are so kind when you do that. And thank you to those that really hate this podcast that have chosen to not leave a review, because that is equally kind, just kind of in a different way. But that is so helpful. If you're not already, you can follow along with The Bible is Funny at The Bible is Funny on Instagram. You can message me there. That is me responding to all the messages. That is Anthony. And we'll be back here with another episode real soon. Thank you so much.